The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 228th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Mr. Floyd, it isn't boss time. What time is it?
It is 11:21 Central Time. No, it is CEO, CEO, CEO.
Yes. Oh. Yes. How you doing, my man?
Yes. I am good. I am just, you know. My feeling has been restored. My feeling has been restored a little bit. It's a good time to be an AEW fan. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. WWE is as hot as they've ever been in my adult life. They're probably the hottest they've been in my adult life. AEW has, you know, signed some amazing talents over the last 3 weeks. I am calling them the Elitals. they've signed 3 amazing talents that do it, and then they're just putting on, you know, shows and everything, and it's great. So as a wrestling fan, I'm in a great mood. And we are, I think 3 weeks away from me leaving for, today. 3 weeks from today, I leave for WrestleMania, and then I guess I come back, and then like 2 weeks from then, I'm at Dynasty, so got a lot of wrestling coming up. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's a damn good time. It's a damn good time for AEW and for yourself with all your shows coming up now. Of course, we got to get into everything AEW, focusing in on, of course, big business, which just took place this past Wednesday. We're going to get into all of it. And then, of course, Mercedes Moné, officially All Elite. Such a huge, momentous occasion. We'll talk everything about that. But before we get into the show, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You can also rate, review, subscribe, so you don't miss a single episode, and leave a review as well. It helps out the show. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. They also have a bunch of other great podcasts you guys should check out, including Keeping It Strong Style, in case Miss Mercedes Moné shows up in New Japan again. You can follow myself, Austin Sumwitz, at Austin Sumwitz, AustinSumwicz, and Floyd at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And big news of the week is what took place at Big Business. We're going to get into the entire show, including Mercedes Moné kicking off the show. Real quick, in the notes I see, we have a bit of a catch-up, though, that we should do before we get into Big Business.
Because we kind of Dynamite, Rampage, Collision, just kind of like, I don't like any thoughts from the shows because they did lead into...
Especially Collision, too.
I think Kazuchika Okada had debuted since our last show.
Yes, Kazuchika Okada did debut, so we have to at least mention that.
Yeah, he comes in, and what do you think about, let me ask, what do you think about him being a heel and a new member of the Elite?
And that's the thing, I talking about that, though, I DM Floyd immediately after he showed up and immediately after I saw that he turned heel, and... Yeah, no, I was like, that's a decision. And I said, and Floyd had a rebuttal, which I agreed with to an extent, but basically I'm like, it's an interesting decision for them to go heel. I know that he has been a heel consistently in New Japan. Floyd brought that up.
Okay, yeah, his biggest run was as a heel.
So there's that, but at the same time, I always go to of like, you know, what wrestling fans, there's a lot of recency bias with a lot of stuff, and most wrestling fans know him as a babyface and his time as a babyface and the matches that he produced as a babyface. Pairing him up with the Elite, pairing him up with, well, making them basically the new Elites, and it's Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada. This is why I always preferred Ibushi, just saying. But I think it's also a really cool pairing. It makes that trio is like dangerous, and at least it gives me a considerable thing. Like the Elite is now like fully formed right now. This Hangman, he's lost his goddamn mind. Kenny Omega, he started up on Twitch now. Actually, if you guys want to check out Kenny Omega on Twitch, he's been playing Street Fighter. I think it's the Cleaner's Corner on Twitch. It's super cool to see him finally get on Twitch. Maybe eventually we'll have him and Austin Creed duke it out on Twitch again. I need that to happen in my life at some point.
I think the old Twitch is a young man's game.
Yes, that's why I'm bringing it up and you are.
I was like, what? He has a show on Twitch.
he literally just this past week was just like, we're going to do a little test stream and I'm going to try to start streaming consistently on Twitch now. And I'm like, let's fucking go. I want to see Kenny do some gaming shit. And then eventually we'll get Kenny and Adam Cole doing gaming shit together too. We need Chugs to get involved in that. I want a whole wrestling Twitch, like just co-stream, like y'all play Mario Party or something. I don't know. But so yeah, him, like I said, now that we have the definitive Elite being the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada, at least now the Elite is consistently here now, as opposed to when it showed up for like 3 weeks and then disappeared again after, Anarchy in the Arena 2. Now at least it's consistently here. And because Okada is just so good to a annoying extent, like he's so good that it can frustrate you and like how good this dude is. And of course, a guy who comes out and then just has money raining all over him, prime for a heel, which is why his longest run was a heel. So I think it can do really well. It just caught me tremendously off guard because I honestly was like, you know, I'm not used to Okada being a heel, just not from recency bias, of course. But pairing him up with the Young Bucks is a great pairing, except for the fact now that I have to despise him from this point forward.
It's even more perfect because, you know, of the Young Bucks and Okada, if you pay attention online, they've always been tight. Okada, you know, got permission to be at All In. You know, Okada was like the reason the Young Bucks got a job in New Japan was Okada. You know, they were tight back in, I guess they hung out in TNA. He always steals Nick Jackson's clothes. So it's like, this is, or is Matt Jackson? I don't know. I do confuse the Jacksons sometimes. So Okada is amazing. And I actually prefer him as a heel. Because, you know, when that New Japan run, when Kenny was trying to beat him, and it was just like, you know, it was a beautiful thing, you know. And I think you can lead to some really, really big matches. And it was like, he gets in there, and the first thing he does is like, boom, Rainmaker on Eddie Kingston. And it's like, oh, I'm coming for your title. And I'm like, dude.
That immediately got me stoked too.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that we're gonna get Kenny, like, and this will lead into our preview for next week too. How we were like setting up for Eddie Kingston versus Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
Like, we've already seen Eddie go head to head with some giants in Japan. But now for him to face the Rainmaker,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then it led into Collision, where, you know, Okada basically beats three guys by himself.
Yeah, yeah. Young Bucks just don't do shit.
And then Eddie comes and jumps him because Eddie's Eddie and doesn't care. So he tries to jump three people and he gets beat up. And then what? Here comes Penta, gets beat up, and then a returning bastard pack. I'm like,
yes.
Like, with Mercedes, you know, I'm not saying this because I cover AEW podcast, but this might be the best wrestling roster, like, ever. Like, if you think about, you know, WWE has been the game for so long, and you think about, like, Impact, you know, has been there, New Japan, ROH, AEW has literally got the best from all of those, and then they've created a few of their own. You know what I mean? It is the brand right now as far as professional wrestling, because, you know, WWE does their thing, AEW does their thing, and it's just like, dude, you could literally put the names on a dartboard and throw a dart and put together, like, an amazing card.
Case in point, too, I mean, the way they ended last week's Dynamite was with Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay tearing the house down, which I firmly believe that Will Ospreay is trying to see, like, can I have a 5-star match every single week?
Yes,
Meltzer. Because I'm going to try.
Yeah, Meltzer rated 5-star match. And I'm going to start saying that when I talk about stars. I'm going to say a Meltzer rated 5-star match. That way, if, you know, if you didn't think it was 5 stars, oh, whatever. You thought it was 4.5, you thought it was 6, whatever. Meltzer rated 5-star match, which is, you don't get that on TV very often. I don't know if WWE, and I'm just using this because they've been around a long time, I don't know if they've ever had a 5-star TV match. Like, I can't think of one, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm sitting there memorizing every match that has a 5-star, but I definitely know in my time of listening to Meltzer, which is only about, what, 7 or 8 years at this point, I don't think WWE's had a 5-star rated television match. I'm sure my people will correct me if I am
wrong.
What
do we count? Do we count, NXT as a 5-star, like not takeovers, but like just an NXT taping?
Yes, that would count.
Okay, they actually did then. They had a 5-star match between, it was featuring Walter, because of course it was, and it, where is it at? It was on an NXT UK show, and it was Walter versus Ilya Dragunov.
Then
also immediately had another 5-star match at NXT TakeOver 36.
So I will just say this. Once you said Walter and Ilya Dragunov, that automatically made it a 3-star match. I remember watching that match, and everybody told me how great that match was. It took me 6 times to get through it. I kept falling asleep because I was so bored. Some styles just don't work for you.
Oh, yeah, and then on another NXT taping, you also had Mustache Mountain in the Undisputed Era get a 5-star match.
I remember that match, and that was a really, really good match. But you're saying NXT, weekly Raws that have been going on since the early 90s, SmackDowns that came on, like, what, 10, like, 7 or, I mean, 8 or 9 years after that. Not one. You know,
other than that, like, yeah, no, I mean, just for a straight Raw or SmackDown, I don't think there's been a single Raw or SmackDown that has had a 5-star match on it. Like,
yes,
Meltzer 5-star match.
And again, this is, I want to make this clear, this is not dissing WWE.
No.
It's just showing how rare this is for a televised match with commercials to get 5 stars. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly. It'll happen on pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like WWE's been getting a good amount of 5-star matches recently on pay-per-views, but just not on TV.
Yes.
Like, AEW will do them constantly.
Yes. And that's what I was like. It's just crazy. It's like, Will Ospreay can make this happen. And it elevated Kyle Fletcher. I don't care what anybody say. It elevated Kyle Fletcher, you know. And that's what I like. Kyle Fletcher lost and still looks better after the loss, which is great. Again, I didn't really want to make that section about WWE.
Yeah, I know,
it was just comparison on length, how rare it is, you know.
Yeah, and then
you
again,
are
like
seeing
I said,
something exceptional now.
Yeah, and getting back to AEW's roster being stacked immediately after that match, let's just have a face-off between Will Ospreay and Brian fucking Danielson.
Dude, like, so I had already bought my tickets to Dynasty. I'm going with my boy Dave Finishill. What up?
There you go.
I had already bought my tickets, But if I hadn't, I would have bought a ticket. That would have sold me. I did not think that was going to be Will Ospreay's first match in AEW. Maybe I should have known, but I did not think that was going to be his first match. And it's just like, so he's going to have another 5-star match. It is like, I don't know what he's going to have going on before then, but dude could have like this amazing 5-star match streak. And after this show and after this promo, I also have another thought, and that I actually put in the show notes, and I asked Austin, because I really want to know what your thoughts on it is once we get there.
Yeah, for sure. But again, that Dynamite had those amazing moments, and then what we mentioned too from Collision, and getting into Big Business, though, we'll move over into that. Show opens up in Boston with Mercedes Moné making her debut. I was excited to see it, but at the same time, too, I was expecting her New Japan theme, you know, the Moné one. I was expecting that theme. You got to imagine how caught off I was when I heard Symphony No. 9, which, you know, for wrestling fans, you know, recency bias in that whole ordeal. I remember when Imperium used to have that, would use that theme, and I was just so thrown out. I'm like, the fuck? Like, what is, what? Like, it threw me off. I was not expecting it. And then when they matched that up with the CEO chants, I was just like, oh, we got a banger here.
They popped so hard that I really didn't hear the music until the playback, and some people kind of, like, just made it where you can hear the music, and I just thought it was fine. I don't know, when you add Symphony No. 9 in it, it feels important, no matter what it
right.
is.
Right, yeah, exactly. It makes you feel like, oh, there's a force coming down the ramp.
Yes, yeah, so it's like, you definitely feels important, so I definitely understand, and then her coming out, and then the big pop, and then, you know, that was all great.
CEO chance, like I said, being built in there, dude, like, yeah. The place was
dude,
shaking.
They've done it with Ospreay and CEO, and I will say this.
There's multiple wrestlers, too, they've tried it with where it just doesn't, like, click. Yeah. Like, Bryan Danielson's theme has the you're gonna get your fucking head kicked in chance built into it, but people don't really, like, latch onto it. And then Keith Lee's theme used to have the, like, Lee parts, and I'm just like, so, like, even when they built chance into them, sometimes they don't catch on, but, I mean, this one, they caught on immediately.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, she's in Boston, you know, it's like,
yes.
I mean, I know a lot of people that just flew in for the show, drove in for the show, took a bus into the show, and like, you know, this was a big show, like, and like, literally, I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to Boston because it's too close to Mania, but I asked for the day off just to sit there and watch it, like, uninterrupted.
Lucky you, because I had to work.
No, I didn't get it off. I missed most of it.
Oh, I didn't know you had to work.
No, I had it. I didn't get it off. I was working. Something happened at the beginning of my shift. I literally missed her whole entrance.
Oh, no.
So, through the first 2 hours of the show, I think I saw 20 minutes, but it slowed down, and then I got to watch it 2 hours uninterrupted, and I just watched it from beginning to end. I didn't just watch segments of them. I just wanted to get that same feeling, and it was great watching it the second time, but it was just like, because I got to, you know, if you might see it, it was just like a few more notes on my thing, because I got to watch it a lot closer than I normally do, and I was just like, I thought she did a really good job. And, you know, to me, it's like thinking about, you know, hindsight being 2020, her big debut and her first promo is how she is here. You know, she's here to be a part of it, and she can't wait to work everybody. And it was just like the perfect tone. She didn't come in and say she's the savior of the division like another person did, who immediately put a bad person taste in everyone's mouth from the first promo. Mercedes caught the right tone. Did it blow out the world? No, but it was emotional. It was real. It was raw. It was like, you understand she's here. Like, she basically said she's here to elevate the division without having to say that word. You know what
and
I mean?
And then also, like, you know, she'd been gone for so long, but, like, had also been gone not because of an injury, but because, you know, she knew her worth, and she, like, was saving herself for the right bidder and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciated the fact that she did thank the fans for being like, you know, thanks for sticking with me through so much stuff, from her being like the labels that she got hit with for like backstage rumors, for what took place when she and Trinity walked out, to all that kind of stuff. And like she said, thank you for sticking through me, not just through the highs, but through the lows as well. And like, you know, she made sure her hometown crowd like knew how much she cared about them too, for sure.
Instead of Sasha Stands, is it like the Monet Mafia now?
Monet Mafia or Monet Maniacs, something like that.
Yeah, they're gonna. I mean, all I know is I'm not gonna say anything bad about her. No, and I want to be real. I want to make this clear. I have never been that huge of a Sasha or Mercedes fan. I mean, I've always thought she was a really good wrestler, but I was never like, you know, throwing my hands up like I've had. I've met her a couple times. She seems
pleasant. I met her once, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I was going to say, she seems pleasant. You know, that's great, but it's like, I do hope she's able to get outside of the world that she was in and maybe show a little bit more personality, and maybe there is something that I didn't see before that I see now. And it won't be because she's just with AEW, because guess what? There's people I don't care about in AEW. I know, I don't talk about them much. You know why? Because I don't care about them. So that's how it is. There are people on the program that I love that I don't care about. So it's just like, so I'm not going to like her just because she's with AEW, but what she brings, the appeal, maybe some new fans and all that stuff, all a bonus. All it. I mean, basically, Willow and Rio were as announced for the main event of the show.
Yes.
They ain't main event in the show if Mercedes is not here.
Which again goes back to what I said in our review of Revolution. Now, like I said, the bar for women's wrestling in AEW has been raised now, because like you put a women's match in the main event of Big Business. So you had the women main event, which we know they can, and we'll talk about that match and how good it was. But again, like there will be no reasoning or excuses you can make from this point onward for having Mercedes Moné signed to your roster and having just one women's match on any pay-per-view. Like, you can't do that. Even on TV, you should at least have setting up multiple women's
matches. At this point, it's not him. It's at this point, you're going to get it, right?
Yeah.
At this point, it's not going to be on TK anymore. It's going to be on the people showing up. It's going to be on the people not turning the channel. It's going to be on buying shirts and all that kind of stuff. Because he's a numbers guy, right? You can sign the best player in the world. If the numbers don't mind, or you don't match up with you being the best player.
You're going to treat it like a business. Yeah.
You're going to treat it like a business. So we're going to be right back to one matches on the pay-per-view. And, you know, so I say that to everyone that listens or whatever. You know, it's like, put your time and your money where your mouth is. I know not everybody has extra money to spend. I absolutely understand that. But put your time in. Tweet about it. Hashtag it. Whatever you can to keep the women's division at the forefront in AEW when they're out there. You should do it, because, yes, Tony didn't put some money in the women's division. So now he's going to put some time in the women's division. And it's just, he's going to do it, and then he's going to look at the numbers. It's just, I'm not even saying this as someone that knows him, but, you know, just look at his background of what he is. The things that get ratings get more time, period.
Yeah. So, like, show out for these people. Show out.
Yes.
So we'll move on then quickly to the AEW World Championship match between Samoa Joe and Wardlow. Wardlow getting his first shot. And he came immediately out and took control and was like flying in there. And Joe was getting like to a point where he was looking a little bit in trouble. Then there was a point where Joe was able to get out of a powerbomb and then start getting some offense in. They were slugging with each other. But at one point, though, Wardlow buckled up, and the ref was trying to check on Wardlow, but while the referee was turned, Wardlow then proceeded to thumb him in the eye to try to get him in trouble. But then as he tried to go for a senton, Joe gets out of the way, then hits a powerbomb out of the corner. Wardlow's able to still get out of it and powerbomb him all out of the corner. Joe then is able to get the rear naked choke on and gets the win by stoppage. For the first match of the show, it was fun. I thought it did a really good job. The choke out was great. And then there was a point in the match where Swerve tried to get to Samoa Joe, but then he got held back as Samoa Joe then took his belt and then took off. So they did a good job to open up the first match of the show. I liked how Wardlow came out immediately.
You know what hurt this match?
Go ahead.
Everyone knew what the result was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm like watching it. Like I remember like the parts that I kind of got to see in the first time, and then it was over, and I was like, "That's it!" And everybody's like, "Yeah, that's it." Samoa Joe just destroyed him. It wasn't a squash match, but it was like blah blah blah. And then I went back and watched it on my own from the beginning, undistracted. It was a very back and forth match.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, Wardlow's hitting things off the top. Samoa Joe does the little walkaway thing. Wardlow reverses it. He hits the big knee. He hits the power bomb.
And also, can I just say again too about that knee buckling thing? Like that, he sold that really freaking.
Yeah, I thought he actually tore his ACL or something.
Like I was like, oh no, 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 no.
Yes, and then he hit his big knee, which no one had ever kicked out of or got up from. Then he hit his power bomb, which I don't think anyone had ever actually kicked out from. And Samoa Joe just took his best shot, and then beat him, you know, with the move. But it wasn't this like Samoa Joe just like dominated the match. It was very back and forth. It was a good match. Unfortunately, we all knew it was a TV world title match, and it wasn't the main event.
Right.
Everyone knew Samoa Joe was winning.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, it is what it is. Like,
I mean, that's wrestling, you know, sometimes the right decision is the right decision. Just because it's predictable I don't want Wardlow winning the title just to throw a wrench in it. And there are sometimes I say that, just do the opposite thing just because. But in this particular case, the right decision was Samoa Joe winning. It's just, I do think it hurt some people's enjoyment of the match. They kind of checked out during it, and they were just waiting for Joe to win.
Right.
Yeah. No. Just from like...
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just the communications I was seeing in the groups. Because I could, you know, I can watch the group chat while I'm busy at work, but I couldn't watch the show. So... what the group chat was saying about the match versus what actually happened to match seemed completely different on the watch back.
Yeah. So moving on to the next match, which was the trios match between the Elite and Eddie Kingston and Death Triangle. So Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penta El Zero Miedo. There was a point that I loved in this match too. I really enjoyed where Young Bucks take out, I can't remember who was in the ring, but one of the both of the tag team members of the other team were taken out, and Okada gets on the ring. He's like, tag me in, like, you know, like go for your hot tag, like you're trying to go for, which was very funny. Pac really started to shine in the second half of this match for sure. And again, I loved the glimpse that we got of Kingston and Okada. The shots that they were giving each other just had me itching for an eventual singles match. I was so, like, the moment that I had that, I was just, like, so excited. But eventually, as the match goes on, Matthew distracts the ref. Nicholas hits Kingston with a low blow. Okada then hits the Rainmaker, pins Eddie Kingston, and then Okada takes his Continental Crown Championship and holds it over his head. And that would set up the fact that for next week on Dynamite in Toronto, we will be getting Eddie Kingston versus Kazuchika Okada for the Continental Crown title.
Unfortunately, again, wrestling fans are unfortunately too smart. It's just for the Continental title.
Yes, it's just not, for the Continental title.
It's not for all the time. And this is the first time. Every other time has been for the three belts.
It's been for all three, yeah.
So this is just for the one. So, Austin, who's going to win this match? shit.
Oh, Okada. 1,000% Okada.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I guess if it was three belts, you know, you'd be like, well, I mean, he just left New Japan. Are they going to then put the New Japan
Strong title on him? Exactly.
Like, no. So there might
be. Like I said, this has been the one thing, even though it's an amazing image and all that kind of stuff, and it fits so well, it's the one thing that has, like, you know, for this specific instance, has been a monkey wrench thrown into it, too. Because, like, yes, you're a champion of three separate companies and all that kind of stuff, but now you have a guy who literally left that one of those companies and is exclusively wrestling for you. And now he's looking to possibly win. He would be looking to win maybe a title that's from the company that he just left.
Dude.
Like, it's just the one little bit of a weird spotlight. And yes, wrestling fans are smart. So once they found out it was just for that one belt, then they were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And I got WrestleMania soon. But if I did not have WrestleMania, I would have been looking up tickets to Toronto.
Exactly. Like I said, dude, the instant that I got the glimpses in this match of Eddie and Okada just slugging each other and Kingston chopping Okada and then Okada DDTing him in the head. Yeah. Like, dude, it's like, I cannot wait for that match next week. I think it's going to be absolute banger.
It's crazy because this show is called Big Business, right? But they booked a much bigger show next week.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, the big business was Mercedes Moné.
Yeah.
Everything else on this show was, like, not filler, but, like, setups for next week. Because what we got next week, oh, my God.
Next week, man, I wouldn't call it a full-on pay-per-view, but it was at least an old-school Clash of the Champions. I mean, it's a big show. It feels like a Dynamite 1.5.
Yes.
I'm really excited about this. When we saw Okada and Pac touched, I'm like, oh, so when are they going to wrestle? And it's just like, so I think we might be lining up some things there, lining up some things going forward. And yeah, basically AEW is leveling up, like, just without a question, without a doubt, they are leveling up. They were already my favorite wrestling company, but it's starting to get ridiculous now. I think it's going to be like super loyalty, forsake all others within AEW, because it seems like every show is going to be a dream show. Like, every show is going to be a forbidden door.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm like, literally, Dynasty is, I mean, if you're forecasting what's coming in Dynasty, it's kind of lining up to be like a forbidden door.
Yeah, no, it's very much what it looks like it's being set up to be. We'll move over now to Will Ospreay being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Now, this was carried in from what happened on Collision the past week, where after Bryan Danielson opened up the show with the victory over Shane Taylor, that's when Will Ospreay came down and said he wanted to have a chat with Mr. Danielson and showed him his respects and talked about how great he was and set the bar and the standard for AEW here. But he said, you interrupted me on my main event of Dynamite, so I have a feeling that you may want to ask me something. And that's when Danielson did mention about from last week when he came out at the end of last week's Dynamite, how, the match that you had with Takeshita was one of the best damn matches he's ever seen. But he listened to him in the media scrum after Revolution and said, what you've said for years and you've been screaming about it is that you're the best wrestler in the world and you came to prove it. And here's your chance to prove it. Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson, AEW Dynasty on Sunday, April 21st, Ospreay accepted it. And Ospreay then proceeded to talk about on this past Dynamite how I'm glad that he's a fan of my work. And I want to remind you of what he said once upon a time, though, because after his match against Kenny Omega on Forbidden Door 2, people were talking about his match and one move that he did. The Tiger Driver 91, where he dropped Kenny Omega right on his noggin. And Brian proceeded to say, like, I expect you, this match, and he said, like, you know, all this type of stuff. No, Brian Danielson was like, came up and said, basically, was it worth it for that match? You know, as I can say, with blood pissing out of my forehead and after winning the match, yeah, bruv, it was worth it. And Danielson, he respects but this match means a hell of a lot more to him, because the moment I stepped foot in AEW, there had been a phrase that's been following him, and it's follow the company, follow the fans of AEW, and all this type of stuff. And he said, restore the feeling. Bruv, I am the feeling. This match between us is reminding people what AEW is. That's what this is about. The best wrestler in the world against the best wrestler of the 21st century. Only one man walks out the winner. And the one thing I learned from Bryan Danielson is I can have respect for the man standing across from me, but the moment we walk into this ring, it's your life or mine, and I don't plan on dying. So these guys are setting up for an absolute clash. And dude, I mean, this is him talking about that restoring the feeling mindset that AEW has had is like exactly what this match, like he said, this match represents it. Because dude, I mean, this is what AEW was founded on, was like AEW is the one wrestling company in America that you can go to where they're just going to take two guys who are better than this than so many people, like some of the best performers and athletes and wrestlers in the world, and they're gonna like have them rip the house and the roof off of its shingles and just throw it in the middle of the street and then proceed to get 5-star ratings out of it. That's what this is. And you know, at this time where AEW is really starting to like refine its footing and refine what made it so great to begin with, a match like this is the representation of all of that. And Ospreay said it perfectly well, and his promo had so much intensity and was so well done. And then just, you know, them going back and forth at each other and just talking about like all their accomplishments and what sets them apart from each other. Like he said, best wrestler in the world versus the best wrestler of the 21st century. You're going to get a match unlike anything you've probably seen before, and you're going to get a technical level from Danielson that's like so physical and violent, but then you're going to get the like can't look away, oh my god, I can't believe he just did that type of stuff that you'll see from Will Ospreay. Like the fact that we're getting this in just a month's time is just crazy, and I can't wait to see what else takes place leading up into this match to get me even more excited, because like I already right now, I mean, like I wish I could be in St. Louis for this match.
Yeah. And I am very excited to be in St. Louis for it. But I sent you a message while watching this through the second time. And I said, is Ospreay him?
Yes. And that is the answer. Yes, he is him.
Let me tell you what I meant by this is I don't mean H-I-M, I use that one, but what I'm talking about is I've been talking about something for about 2 years and a little over 2 months that AEW's been missing. And it was what I was like, Cody, when Cody was there, what he was to it, he was the rah-rah guy. I was talking to my wife today, and because I was trying to explain it to somebody that doesn't care as much as I do. And she actually wanted to know. And I was like, I'm not going to say he's the exact same, because he's not. He's completely different. But it felt like in that first 2 years or whatever, that first run of Cody, when he was cutting a promo against Chris Jericho, cutting a promo against Shawn Spears, or cutting a promo against MJF, it was like, yes, he is cutting a promo against that person, right? But that promo also felt a little bit like it was at the WWE. A lot of times he did mention the WWE. So it wasn't just like a promo. It was like, okay, I want to fight you. But in the same thing, it was this marching order that you are a part, you are a fan. You're not just, when you support me, you're supporting AEW. You're not just supporting me. It's not, you're just not all. He is the general there. And he does it, and he leads in a completely different way. But there was this energy to this. And it was just like, oh my God, I'll run through a wall for this man. And like I said, he's not Cody by any means. But I was talking, when I've always said it, It's the feeling, the rah-rah, AEW's the best. It's us against the world. And I think that came across in that promo. And like I said, it wasn't like any energy like that line. I even wrote the line down in the notes. How many times have I done that? Ever? Wrote a line.
No, you don't do it a lot.
Like wrote a line. It's like, it's the moment I walk into the ring, it's either your life or mine, and I don't plan on dying, bro. He should have dropped the mic right there.
Yeah.
He talked after that, but that's where he should have just dropped the mic. Like, boom, that line. Oh, my God. Just like that line should be everywhere because that's where he should have dropped it. Because he is all elite. He is the best in the world. He's everything. It was just this passion that came by in the promo. And again, like those words and AEW's the best are said in a lot of ways. But a lot of the wrestlers in current in AEW are very calm. They're very cool. They're very, you know, this way. But that energy, that passion, that yell, that like the vibe came through last night. I was like, and it was like, I don't get goosebumps, but you know that skin crawly feeling that you get, and I got that, and I haven't got that in a long time. I'm thinking probably Punk cut like one or two promos. Now I'm talking about my first dance, but one or two promos when he first came, it was just like, man, put that in my veins, and I haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just felt like, man, this caught the vibe. And I was like, Will Ospreay's him. He's that guy. I think he's that guy. Because one thing I can say is like when Cody was in AEW, it always felt like, oh, man, he's the general. But when he wrestled, it did feel like this is a WWE guy wrestling around a bunch of AEW guys, right? And he did his best. You know, I'm not saying anything was wrong with it because I actually liked the way he wrestled, so it never bothered me. But you could tell it was different than everything else. Will Ospreay is a guy with this voice, with this ability to rally, and he wrestles the style pretty much better than anybody in the world. He is the style. He's about, like, I've been saying Mox is the measuring stick. I mean, it just got higher, and Will Ospreay is the measuring stick now. What a great, good match is changed the moment Will Ospreay showed up. The moment him and Takeshita put down that match, the level of your performance had to step up, or you're going to get left behind. And I just, man, I felt it. I felt it. I'm like, I'm even having a hard time like saying what I felt because I think he's that dude. I really do think he's that dude. And I think anybody that's in a match with him, anybody that's in around him, in a faction with him or whatever, they're going to come out better because they're around Will Ospreay. He feels like a bigger deal. He feels like the most important person in AEW right now. And that is crazy because if you would have asked me that, I always thought, you know, Will Ospreay's a great wrestler and he's going to bring another great wrestler to AEW. I had no idea. This wasn't even a thought of something he could be. But yeah, every week since then, he's proven, oh, he might be that dude.
He is that guy that you will see, like you said, be that torchbearer for AEW. That guy that, like, you know, you want a guy to get people to, like, hey, you need to see this. Hey, you need to see this. Hey, you got to see this. Like, Will Ospreay can be that guy, I think. Like I said, the moment that we got the official word that he would be signing after his New Japan obligations were all wrapped up, I'm like, when this dude gets here, like, we've seen what he's done when he's just doing stuff through New Japan when he had his Forbidden Door matches. But I'm like, when he gets here consistently, and he's just, like, part of the team and all that kind of stuff, he is going to be such a leader and such a guy to, like, make this company, like, so incredible and so must-see. It's going to be insane. And, like, he's got to be one of my top guys in AEW, like, of my personal favorites. Darby's still going to be consistently my favorite, but I mean, dude, Will Ospreay is on another level too, so like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I mean, Mercedes showed up, but this promo was my favorite part of the show. It was just so good. Another level.
He just did it so well. Yeah, like I said, and Mercedes being here, we're already like on cloud nine just from her kicking off the show like she did. And then this just amped it up even more. And like I said, set up for next week, for what we'll eventually see Ospreay doing. And yeah, we'll get into what will happen next, which was Deonna Purrazzo backstage calling out Toni Storm and Mariah May. Of course, on Collision, they were presenting the Tony Awards, which I was so excited for. But then Deonna Purrazzo comes out and tries to jump Toni Storm, and then Mariah May DDTs her on the ramp. And then Mariah May got a shoe as a trophy, which is also very nice. She said, if you think this is over after Toni tapped out and you DDT'd me up on the ramp, you know nothing about the Virtuosa. If this is a numbers game you want to play, then let's play, because I have no problem finding a partner and meeting you both in Toronto next week. And since you already have a tag team match on Rampage this Friday, maybe we'll stick around and get a closer look. I suggest you watch for the shoe because it's headed straight up your ass.
I know who it is at this point, but in my mind, oh, Britt's coming back. Britt's coming back. Britt's coming back.
I was like, please. Because,
I mean, please, yeah, please. They're like close friends in real life. So I was like, man, Britt's coming back. And yeah, so I know who it is now. And I'm not going to spoil it because they're going to announce it on Rampage. That was pre-recorded. But I will say this, it was not Britt. So just lower your expectations.
Lower your expectations, Britt, even though it would be insane. Yes.
It would have been crazy. No,
but please give us Britt soon,
dude.
I miss her.
So this act, I feel like it's hit or miss for most people, and I do think the audience loves it. I think it's a mostly hit for AEW audience. Yes. But the whole thing that cracked me up, she's like Toni with an I. I want to avoid getting sued. I laughed. I had to actually pause it.
That was
because I was laughing.
So funny.
I had to pause it because I was laughing, so I didn't hear what was going on for the next minute or so. So I had to come back and watch it. I know it probably did not crack anybody up like it did me, but it was very, very funny to me.
No, I'm like, Toni Storm cracks me up so much. Like, she makes me laugh so hard. She's my queen. We move over to Switchblade Jay White versus Darby Allin. Now, of course, the week before on Dynamite, Darby Allin talked about how his match with Jay White was going to be the closing match, basically, because after this, he was going to go and prepare to go climb Mount Everest. And last week on Dynamite 2, he, with like tears in his eyes and is like holding back, like he's choked up, literally goes to the, like, says, like, you know, it's not a safe journey, and there is a possibility that I will not come back alive from this, because there are plenty of stories of people who have attempted to climb Mount Everest, and they don't come back home.
18% of people.
18% of people, yeah.
Die so. Climbing Mount Everest. That's a huge number. Like,
it's a very big number.
Like, dude, if, like, let's say it was disease and it killed 18% of the people that got it, they would label it an epidemic. And exactly. Like, that is,
it would be the next COVID.
Yeah. 18% is a huge fucking number.
Yeah. So, and then Jay White, when he came out and he was talking shit, basically, about Darby being like, now you don't have Sting to protect you anymore, blah, 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 blah. So Jay White and Darby Allin faced off in Darby's last match before he left for Mount Everest. And Darby is taped up, like I said, because this man is still suffering the wounds from what he had in his match, in Sting's final match against the Young Bucks. And Jay White knew exactly what he was looking to do. And then this was a very back and forth match, and Darby was flying all over the place too, and throwing himself at Jay White to get some offense in. But then there's a point where after Jay White kicks out of the Last Supper, he then proceeds to take his fingers and just start going into his wounds. Darby then proceeds to, I love the fact too, he used the Scorpion Death Drop. Sting has basically passed on the Scorpion Death Drop to Darby Allin, which I love. Jay White was still able to get his foot on the rope though, and then he looked for a coffin drop, Darby then crashed onto the edge of the ring apron. God, remember when, like, when he did that against Cody in was it Fyter Fest or was it Fight for the Fallen? I think it was Fyter Fest. And their time limit draw. And yeah, that was the Fest. One move where people were like, oh my God, Darby is like, that was the most insane spot I've ever seen. And then like a few years later, he jumped through glass. Like, it's crazy how time flies and like what was once like sickening and like a horrible bump is now looked at as like, well, I mean, this guy did go through glass, so is it really that bad? But like that spot is still just vicious, especially with him still suffering from the Revolution match. As Darby's able to get back in up, Jay White was waiting for him. He hits the Blade Runner after he beats the 10 count, but Jay White hits the Blade Runner and he pins Darby Allin. And that's when the Guns and Jay White start beating the hell out of Darby. They grabbed a steel chair and it looked like he was about to take him with Sting's baseball bat that he had. But that's when the Acclaimed comes out and they come out and they chase off the Guns and and Jay White. And Billy takes the baseball bat from Jay White and then Jay gets the chair and smashes it against Billy's head. Anthony Bowens and Caster then proceed to see out of nowhere, like, oh crap, Billy Gunn got knocked out. The Guns then proceeded to knock down the Acclaimed. And that's when, you know, oh shoot, the Bang Bang Scissors Gang like seems to be falling apart because Jay White just took a chair and smashed it over Billy's head. So, well, so much for that. And the Guns are starting to beat up the Acclaimed. And that's when they took their championship belts and put it against Bowen's head and then hit Caster with the belts. And Bullet Club Gold is now officially here. And the Guns then proceed to take Darby's ankle between the steel chair and then just take it with the baseball bat and slam it. So, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm very glad the Bang Bang Scissor Gang is done because it was just a name. It was just a funny name. Now that Bullet Club Gold and Jay White and the Guns and soon Juice Robinson, when he comes back, can be themselves. Like, that's what I want. Bang Bang Scissor Gang was a fun little moment, but obviously I think even for the short time that it was there, overstayed its welcome. It was there for the t-shirt, which, you know, was cool. But now that they're actively being themselves, like, I was like, A, nice heel heat on Darby as the way to write him off for TV and all that kind of stuff. Or when he like will come back, I'm going to put that in the world will come back. But then it also just makes Bullet Club Gold once again, just such a vicious threat. And that's what they are. So I thought this was very, very good.
All right. I asked the question on my Twitter and it probably went past most of y'all. I'm like, who do you blame, the Scorpion or the Frog?
Yep, there it is.
I mean,
I'm a Scorpion. All I get, it's my nature.
You know, I say that because the reason I say that is because the Bullet Club Gold was the Bullet Club Gold. They were doing dirty shit, and then the Acclaimed said, "Hey, come join us." So to me, when I know that you're doing dirty shit and I ask you to join me,
you expect dirty shit.
Yeah, I'm going to do dirty shit. I'm going to beat up people. I'm going to jump people. I'm going to cheat because you asked us to join you. And you said there was strength in numbers. We do the numbers game as good as anybody. So, hey, we're just doing what we do. We beating up Darby. This is what we do. This is what joining us means. And then the claim acted dumb. And I'm like, you know, I always say faces are written like the dumbest people ever.
it'd be like that sometimes.
Because I'm like, dude, this dude was bad when you asked him to join you. They didn't come to you. They didn't say, man, let's scissor up. No, you came to them. So
yeah, exactly.
They know. So I was like, dude, I'm not blaming the Scorpion. This is on the Frog. Because they just did what they do. And, you know, Darby was a victim. Darby took sick bumps in this. There's another Jay White and Darby match, and I'm looking forward to it. And they're going to do more, and I'm looking forward to it because
exactly,
this one was played on Darby was hurt, and Jay White was taking advantage of him being hurt. When it eventually happens again, it's going to be an even kill, and I just think they're going to elevate this match. I thought this was a great match. I really enjoyed this match. It was probably my favorite match of the night. I really enjoyed it just because, you know, when he suplexed him into the chair and just like the viciousness of Jay White. That's the thing. If you didn't watch New Japan, which I think if you're honestly listening to the show, you probably at least watched a little bit. That is who Jay White is. He is methodical and he is vicious. He studies everything you do and he's not going to let you get your best stuff off. He is going to go after every injury you have, and he's going to do it on a level that is borderline criminal. That is what, yes. That's who Jay White is. And this match was a perfect example of who Jay White is. And I thought it was beautiful because when Jay White is at doing his Jay White thing, it's polarizing. I know there's some people that don't like the way he tells a story. I fucking love it because, you know, if you're not the most athletic, if you can't do the flips, if you're not that, I'm not saying he can't do any of that stuff, but let's just say when you're not that wrestler, you have to learn how to attack the person a different way. And, you know, this is like wrestling being real. And it's just like how he takes on wrestling is a very real take on somebody that maybe wrestled with Will Ospreay and is like, I'm never going to be as athletic as him. And they're like, oh, I wrestled with this guy. I'm not going to be as strong as him. But you know what I can do? I can be smarter than everybody. And that's how Jay White's matches play out. And it's beautiful. And I thought this was great. And I'm glad the Bang Bang Scissor Gang is over. I loved the shirt. I loved the name.
Yeah, the shirt was good.
Yes. I didn't buy the name, buy the shirt at all. You know why? Because I knew this was not long for this world. I think we might get a trios. And I've been thinking this should happen for a while. I think we were going to get like a trios unification match, and they might not ever say the titles are unified per se, but I think because I don't think you need a six-man champion in AEW and a six-man champion in ROH. I just think you need one for both brands. So if you can put those belts together with whoever winning, that's great. I think it would be nice if if you're asking me, Bullet Club Gold, but I've always preferred Bullet Club Gold to Acclaim. This was something that needed to happen, but the way it was executed was done well. It wasn't really done well. It was done okay. I would have liked to see them getting closer to breaking up before, but I feel like this is one of those things, and this is just where everybody realized it wasn't working, so they just ended it.
Yeah, so it was kind of that where they're like, you know what? All right, let's
cut our losses. Like,
we sold the t-shirt very well, but other than that, I mean, no one really cares about that.
Yeah, they could have did the slow burn over the last few weeks, but they were just done with it, you know? No, I'm hoping that means Juice Robinson's coming back.
That's what I'm hoping for as well, exactly. We move on to Lion Hook, FTW champion Hook and Lionheart Chris Jericho versus Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. First thing I want to say is that I think Bishop Khan honestly looked really, really good in this match. Like, he survived a lot and was able to just like still keep on going. Got out of Red Rum he got held on to Red Rum for a while. And was able to also, at the same time, last very long in the Lion Tamer. Like, he just would not tap out after a while, but then eventually did. But other than that, like, this was a match, you know? It's just my growing feeling of just, like, you know, I want Hook to be... Like, I'm glad at least Hook's in something, but, I mean, I would rather it not be with Jericho. Me personally, I don't need this to be a tag team. Like, I don't need this to be a consistent thing, and I don't need to go through them like, oh, we're working so well, we'll work towards the tag team titles, and then Jericho's gonna turn on him, and then Hook's gotta have a feud with Jericho. It's just like, it's just not something that intrigues me, unfortunately. I would much rather Hook be doing something much different. But I mean, this was fine. Like I said, it was a match. I'm not going to hate on it. It's just not what I would prefer for Hook, who I think could be doing a lot of great things. But that's just me. Like I said, this was a match.
This is a match that I could be okay with never seeing again. I mean, I understand Jericho has to do something. So Not
does he?
I mean, he does. I mean, you're probably.
I know.
I'm gonna guess when he. You're probably paying him, you know, a significant amount of money. You know what I mean? And it's like, so you're gonna do but something Jericho with
too. Him. I mean, like at this point in time, like he has a very successful cruise that he does year to year, where he can do his wrestling stuff and do his music stuff. He found a way to be able to do both, like in one venue, and it's something that everybody who's gone on it has loved. My sister got tickets to go on the cruise, which I would be joining her if it didn't this venture didn't also happen to fall like in the middle of prime playoff football, which, you know, for my work, I can't leave for. Like, it's just not possible. That being said, my sister's going on it next year, and she's very excited about it. Jericho could just do that. He could just do that, and I think he'd be a very happy man. And people would love him if he just did that. Like, I don't know, man. I just don't have a desire to see this feud or see this storyline or just see Jericho in AEW programming consistently. He's done so much incredible work for this company since it was since its inception, which, I mean, like, you can't deny his impact for AEW. But at this point in time, like, Jericho's always found a way to reinvent himself time after time after time after time again. I think the well may have run dry, though, is my own feeling. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think Jericho is one of the greats in terms of just longevity. Like, he's up there for guys who have been able to stick around and reinvent themselves. Like, no joke, like Undertaker, because like the way that Jericho has reinvented himself and had people like just still like itching for the next thing he was going to do, and the moments he's created and the championships that he's won, like, he has that level of longevity. But eventually stuff has to come to an end, and I think we're like nearing that, at least.
Yeah, no, everyone around this age, whether they want to or admit it or not, they run into this area where they might not be as useful anymore, right? And I think he's done a good job of lowering himself on the card, because he is lower on the card than he was. He's not trying to be in the main event. He's not Okada's first opponent, which he very much could have been. He's not Ospreay's first opponent, which he very much could have been. He's doing something in the mid-card with Hook, which hopes to elevate Hook. This is where you want to use him right now. They can. I think there's this point where you can find his Sting role, like his Sting-esque role. You're never going to do Sting again. That was perfect. But you can find his Sting-esque role, and, you know, you can find him somebody to go with, and it wanted to be Sammy, but, you know, other things. I never, with his wrestling, nothing with Sammy is ever about what he does when he's wrestling, for the most part. It's always other stuff. And it's just like, he tried to be it. So hopefully he can be it with Hook, because Hook has something. He has something. He has a very that intangible it. And I think Jericho can help him develop that it.
Yeah. No, I think there is a case for that, for sure. But we will see how that ends up going. We then had an interview with Kyle O'Reilly where he was interrupted by the Undisputed Kingdom, basically being like, you know, if you want, Roger Strong was like, I respect you, Kyle, but if you want to do this on your own, do it on your own. And Kyle was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. This Saturday will be my first match back. I'm going to do it on my own. And there was also a moment before the main event match where Mercedes Moné introduced herself to Riho saying, I look forward to your match tonight, which was super awesome. And then, continuing off of the previous match, Jericho said that Hook showed that he has future world champion written all over him, but he goes, as much as I learned in the ring standing next to you, I still need to learn more. And I need to learn what it's like standing in the ring across from you, which is why next week on Dynamite in Toronto, Lionheart Chris Jericho against Hook in AEW for the first time ever. And Hook agrees. So that's a match that we'll be getting next week. We'll move over now.
And that was a very weird way to go about creating it.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like, I just thought they were going to be in the tag team tournament. I did not.
Exactly.
I did not see it.
I didn't think that we were just going to get the singles match out of the gate just right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Jericho kind of has this way of doing things backwards. So it's like, this is weird. Yeah, it feels like you should have had the singles match and then you're like, well, maybe we should tag up. You know, that kind of thing. It seems right? like no, that's yeah. the natural progression, but they did it the other way. Okay. Yeah,
definitely threw me off for sure. But either way, we'll get into the main event of Riho versus Willow Nightingale with Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway at ringside. Man, this was a good match. This had a chance of, like, you know, honestly being my favorite match. Now, there was a point, too, where Stokely and Statlander, they did not stay at ringside. Man, this match is just really, really good. There was the Northern Lights suplex with Riho hitting that on Willow, which is awesome move, being able to pull that out. Riho using her diving foot stomp, but Willow was able to get out of the way. And then also Willow pouncing on Riho is just a great, like, that was a great spot. This is awesome chance during the match. But eventually, as it came going, Willow was able to get out of the way of a strike, hit a lariat, and then hit the gut wrench doctor bomb. And Willow gets the victory over Riho, but then the lights go out. And when they came back on, Julia Hart with her TBS championship, she was standing in the aisle. And then Sky Blue then proceeds to chop block Willow. They double team Willow. Willow was about to get cracked in the head with Julia's TBS title. And that's when Mercedes Moné runs out. And Sky Blue jumps up and she gets knocked down. And then Mercedes gets up and she plants Julia Hart down. And that's when she turns to Willow. And they just smile with, you know, the history that they have. And Willow raised Mercedes' arm. They show respect. And, you know, we know these two will lock up again eventually. But, you know, they just, like, for now, like, yeah, like, we're supporting each other. Great way to close out the show, too, tying it all up from the beginning of the show. It was one thing, too, from the first dance that we didn't get. Once Punk showed up, that was all you were getting, basically, from that point. Having Mercedes come back and also just get involved with storylines right out the gate was awesome to see. So we're already getting the ball moving right now. And Shivani even said there's never been a better time to be a fan of AEW than right now, which I could definitely agree with for sure. And it was a great way to close out the show. Match itself, like I said, had an argument for being one of the best matches of the night. I still might give the edge to Darby and Jay White just because of them breaking up the Bang Bang Scissor Gang after the fact, and the fact that, like, technically could be Darby Allin's last match in AEW, but I don't want that in the world. So, you know, it's going to be his first last match in quite some time, though. So, Darby, best of luck to you climbing Mount Everest. But that the overall big business did exactly what it needed to do, and we got an amazing show that it's setting up for next week.
Yeah, I was excited. I was really happy for Mercedes. She just seemed happy. And, you know, like, not knowing her at all, not disliking her at all, you know, or whatever, or knowing her. She's very much one of those people that just seems like she's really enjoying what she's doing right now.
Oh, 1,000%. And it's exciting just to have her here. Like, I'm so, so excited to see what she does in AEW. But that was AEW Big Business. Very, very great show. We'll go ahead and we'll preview Rampage and Collision going forward. On Rampage, we're going to have the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament. The bracketology will be announced. And unfortunately, we will not get long to be able to do our predictions and all that kind of stuff, because it's going to start pretty much within 24 hours.
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. It's actually pretty crazy that they didn't give us a few days
to fill out our brackets.
I honestly was going to try to do something when I give out a gift card to get off the shop AEW, just to try to get some people engaging in the group, get you on Social Suplex Discord. I had all these ideas. I can't execute any of them because, you know, I can't execute any of them.
It's not going to be the case.
Yes. Yeah, I can't execute any of them. So we are going to do our best. We're going to adjust. With that, there is another show, an extension to All Things Elite with me and Sir Sam called AEW Bracket Eliminator. And yes, we really wanted to break down the bracket before the tournament starts. But we record on Monday, so literally the bracket's going to be out, a match is going to happen, and then we're going to do the show, and then we'll break down the bracket from there. I'm going to do our best to not take anything from this show and give us our takes, because we'll be covering the show as a whole, but all we're going to talk about on that other show is the bracket. So those are where you too. So if you want deep dive into a tag team tournament with me and Sir Sam, we can do that. That's what we're going to do. So I'm looking forward
to it. Absolutely, yeah. Can't wait for that. And then also taking place on Rampage, you'll have Best Friends versus Dark Order. AEW Women's Champion Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May will be in action. And you will also get a trios match between the Undisputed Kingdom and Top Flight and Action Andretti facing off. So you'll have Roderick Strong, Wardlow, and why am I blanking on the other name? Mike Bennett, why am I blanking on his name? This is awful. I feel terrible. It's Undisputed Kingdom with Mike Bennett. Oh my God, it's going to kill me.
Matt Taven and Roger Strong. Taven.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, why did you wait that long to help me?
Dude,
you were leaving me,
I was yelling it on mute. Sorry.
me out to dry for so long. No,
dude, I was literally yelling it on mute.
Yes. Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Roderick Strong versus Action Andretti in Top Flight. So that will be the Rampage airing tonight when you guys hear this. My God, I finally got through that. I'm sorry. I'm so tired. On Collision from Ottawa, we're going to have Kyle O'Reilly in his first match back as he takes on the bounty hunter Brian Keith. And then next week on Dynamite in Toronto, we'll have Lionheart Chris Jericho versus the FTW champion Hook. Mercedes Moné will be there and we're going to hear from her. The AEW Continental Crown Championship match between Eddie Kingston and Kazuchika Okada. And then, of course, Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship in an I Quit match. Like, again, has pay-per-view elements to this show. Like, seriously.
Dude, it's like the two titles on with two Toronto or Toronto area natives. Two Toronto area natives main eventing in an I Quit match for the TNT title. The Continental title, Mercedes Moné on the show. It's just so loaded. I'm imagining there's going to be a tag team tournament match.
Yeah, once the bracket gets announced, I can imagine them eventually finally giving us what the matches will be featuring and what one will be on Dynamite. So I think we can definitely expect that when it comes to that.
Yes, it's going to be a grand night as far as that. I'm like,
for
dude,
sure.
Dude, I'm like, oh man, can I get tomorrow off too? And it's like, I won't be able to get it off, so I won't be able to get that next week off
for sure.
Looking forward to it. I honestly, because I kept getting interrupted, next week I just might record it and just watch it during my slow feed so I don't go through what I did this week. No, I'm really looking forward. I think it's gonna be a banger. I think it's definitely can end up being the Dynamite of the year. You know, that kind of thing.
It could definitely get to that point, sure.
Yeah, so, but, you know, is it going to be able to win match of the year? No, because Will Ospreay exists, unfortunately, and he's probably going to take up AEW match of the year. He's going to probably take up the, top five spots because, every match he does is a match of the year. So, no, I'm really looking forward to next week. It's funny, like, when you look at the company right now, and it's like the world champion Samoa Joe, amazing wrestler. You know, you look at it down, like amazing wrestlers. And it's just like there's this group of amazing wrestlers that aren't champions right now, including Kazuchika Okada or Will Ospreay, Pac. You got the Young Bucks. They're not the tag team champions. You can just go through of like there are eight people right now you could put the AEW world title on right now and you would be okay. you would be like perfect. You know, like there are that much star power. People are waiting on Swerve, like Swerve, Swerve, Swerve. And it's like, man, you know, and Swerve, shit, a month ago was the hottest star in AEW.
I know.
And it's just like, that's how quick this is going to move in this company now.
Yeah, it's going to be going. We're going to be moving.
Yes.
But that is everything we got in AEW. The one thing I wanted to mention, too, is the fact that if you didn't see the little clip of Naomi, Bayley, and Tamina, they were in disguises for when they came to Boston to go support Mercedes Moné's debut in AEW. Love friends showing love for friends, but their disguises with their stupid like face masks on, like their bunny heads, so stupid and so funny. Like they were just on Instagram and they were fucking about, like showing love. So I thought that was really cute and really funny. So I did want to mention that real quick. Yeah, that's I believe, I think is all we have for this show, I think, Floyd.
Yes, that is all we have for the show. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this. Doing two podcasts a week is a little challenging, but I'm looking forward to the challenge. I love talking to you, Austin. Love talking to Sir Sam. And it's been a good time. And I thank you. I thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
You're always busy.
I'm excited, dude, that we're on this, like, this run of AEW. Just like, we're in the groove right now, dude. We're moving. We're building towards Dynasty, and then Double or Nothing in the summer. Like it's gonna be hype. More so in the spring, I should say. Actually, it is technically in the spring, but we're on a stretch of AEW where like it's gonna get back to being that must watch TV that it was for so long. So I can't wait to talk about this journey of AEW with you. And hopefully the folks at home, y'all listening to this, hope you all stick with us like you have been. We appreciate you guys. Again, continue to download this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Make sure to review the podcast. Leave a review. It helps out. And rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And you can follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And my buddy Floyd can now take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Thank you for listening. For anybody that's listening to me talk for like 4 hours on through the both shows, I appreciate you. So I am going to start leaving this very, very short. Thank you for listening to All Things Elite. Make sure you're supporting all professional wrestling. And whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.